until something kicks it right out of you.
You know you can't do it anymore. It just doesn't work, that's all. It really cuts you in half. And then you say, well, what about my human life? Well, hopefully, if we ever have a seminar again, and you attend, you won't bring it with you. Because you have no human life. You only think you have. That human fellow walking around is not yourself. That's the point. That's a visible time track placed there by the time sense of the world, the universal time sense, which then impersonates itself within you as your time sense. And you begin to see this fellow in the track who came out of swaddling clothes and then grew up into mother's joy and then became an adult. And then somewhere along the way, you try to improve this and you found you could improve it to an extent, but not as completely as you'd like to. And then while you thought you were able to make decisions, all sorts of strange decisions were being made by the world for you. And you found you couldn't control your life the way you wanted to. Never realizing that the life you couldn't control wasn't your life, and that's why. That's why if a hurricane came along, you had to flee the city. That's why you had to worry about a germ. And that's why you felt at night, I'm not protected, I have to have an escort. You were worrying about another life. You weren't worrying about your life because your life is nothing to worry about. Now, this human life that we want to protect, it will be protected. This human life that we want to improve, it will be improved. It will receive the overflow of your spiritual awareness. But don't look back. Even though the overflow comes into our life and we call it a divine blessing, let's not make the mistake that it's not a divine blessing of our human life. It's merely a sign that we are to that degree living in divine substance. And it's a form of encouragement to make us go deeper into self, away from humanhood, to lay down our false sense of life and trust our real life to manifest the fullness of divine harmony in whatever way it wishes to. If you can stop clinging and let go of that human life, you'll find that all you've been trying to do for it will be done. Otherwise, you're going to keep a separation between yourself and your father. And you'll never find your real self that way. Now, I think most of us have been given enough divine blessings, enough encouragement to know that whatever is left of us of humanhood, we can learn to let go. If you do not honor the Son, you lose the Father. But he that honoreth the Son also has the Father. Now the Son that you must honor is the fullness of your divine self. If there's someone in this room who has not yet made that commitment, you don't have to come forth and say, I accept Jesus Christ. But within yourself, wrestle with it until you can accept it. You climb the ladder in yourself until you can say, I am the full divine self now. And therefore, everything that manifests something that is not in my full divine self now has nothing to do with me. even if it has my human name on it, even if it seems to be my human body, it has nothing to do with who I am. I'm not concerned about it. And then you'll find that you are given this extra sense, this soul sense, which in its beautiful, undecipherable way does everything for that human self that you had wanted to do. And yet you are now past caring whether it does or not, because you are more and more and more aware of your invisibility. We are trying to awaken the need to be divine, so that without it you cannot be satisfied. There is no fulfillment in humanhood. Humanhood depends on time. There is no fulfillment in time. It is strictly a continuous reincarnating treadmill with no place to go. If you want to be one with the Father, you must be the Son, because only the Son is one with the Father. This is what John is saying. But it isn't John saying it. It's the very self that you are being asked to acknowledge which is saying it. Yourself is saying, acknowledge that you are me, the invisible self, for I am the Son of God. Acknowledge your invisible self here and now as the Son of God. And then you will have the Father. For I, the Son, I go to the Father. Acknowledge the invisible heaven here and now. For I, the Son, I am in heaven. Heaven is here. Heaven is now. Heaven is just outside our time sense and our human sense of self. Step out, cross over, pass over, ascend, accept. And as you do, accept yourself to be the living Son. The Father says, Son, all that I have is thine. Again and again and again and again and again. Infinity is the nature of the Son. Infinite blessings now. Not one tiny time track, but infinite time tracks which add up to eternity now. All this is yourself. When you have yourself, then as we did last night, when you have yourself, that which is called death, coming from the future into the present, is meaningless. You know it isn't yourself. And so does every ill and every imperfection and every discord on the face of the earth lose its attachment to you. It is not part of the Son. It is not part of the Father. You see, in time, we never acknowledge God as all. We think there's something beyond God itself. There's something beyond spirit. There's all kinds of other things. But God is all. And in the allness of God, everything that is not of God is not. And the Son knows this. I'd like you now to divulge, just throw out everything in your life. Just go beyond all the barriers of the mind in one swoop. Throw out right now, it isn't going to hurt a bit, everything that is not of God. You'll see that you've got a lot of uncluttering ahead of you. everything that is not of God, just in consciousness, throw it away. You're going to feel empty, aren't you? Lost, maybe. But it'll be the truth, and it can be done in an instant, and you won't feel the worse for it. Just throw it out. Everything that is not of God. Suppose you threw out the cells of your body and the organs of your body and the tissues and the thoughts of your mind and the hopes and the ambitions and the plans, all the things you're going to do in the future. Suppose you were able to just discard them in one swoop and say, I'm still a whole being. I've lost nothing. Why can't I start from where I am instead of where I appear to be in time? Why can't I start from the seventh day? Why do I have to climb up? Why can't I start from what I am rather than what I appear to be? Am I not the sun? How could I honor the sun if I honor the human shell? How can I honor the sun when I try to put a mortal sense of life in that flesh that withers and call it me and tell me all about its problems? Take off the garment of mortality. It's just a garment you wear in your mind. In all your human days, you will never succeed as much as you already are. You see, the sun never becomes. The sun is. I am. Nothing to become, not even well, not even unsick, because I am the sun. That is yourself. And you must cross over in consciousness to it. To even acknowledge it is a beginning. And then to let the acknowledgement deepen, ripen, mature into the revelation of it declaring itself within you. This day have I begotten thee. Thou art my son, the son of the living God. But it cannot happen while you're clinging to the myth of a human selfhood. You cannot live in eternity while you're clinging to time. You cannot live in omniscience while you're clinging to trust in a human mind. And while you're experiencing the powers of your personal will, you cannot experience the omnipotence of your divine self. Everything you take away from your true self prevents you from experiencing the fullness of sonship in God. You must give up all sense of error. There is no error in your life, only in your mind. And in your mind, it appears to be in your body. In your mind, it appears to be in your life. In your mind, it appears to be in your experience, but it isn't. It is all outside of yourself. And because yourself has no outside, it is a dream. It is a false sense of reality, transforming itself into a false sense of lack, limitation, always something missing, always something to be corrected, always afraid to even try to know the truth for fear that you may discover you have made a mistake, or you won't know how to stand in nothingness for a while until the allness takes place. Always the fear of failure. But that's all part of the decoy of the false self. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father and does not have the Father. And it is time for none of us to be walking in this appearance of form without the Father. Not the Father we have in our human sense mind, because that's not the Father. That's the Father who doesn't come to you in an emergency, because that Father is only in your head. Now, you would have to meditate for many, many days and months on this phrase of John's until you could accept that these are the words of God and cannot be ignored, and that they reveal a truth that has ever been true and always is. To honor the Son means to accept your identity as the Divine Son. Now, when someone tells me that something is wrong, all I can think of is that they have not accepted their identity. They're telling me about someone other than the Son. They're saying, my human self has this problem. And the answer is, if you want to follow the ways of man, go ahead, you have a human self. But if you want to follow the word of God, you must crucify the sense of a human self. Until you crucify the human sense of self, you are denying the Son. And so what you're really doing when you insist that you are human and have a human problem, you are crucifying Christ. You're crucifying Christ every day of your life that you have a problem. And all of us have been through this phase where we crucify Christ every day of our lives, many times. Every time we accept a problem, which is about our human self or another human self we know, we are denying the presence of the Son of God, the Christ. And we're crucifying Christ when we should be crucifying the human sense of self. This is what John is saying. And it's a shame to know that many in religions, while they are saying Jesus on their lips, are crucifying the Christ of their own being, because they have not been taught that they are that Christ. And that is all they are. And that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. They are living without a creator while claiming to be praying and worshiping God. You can't have a bigger illusion than that. And so the next time you are ready to call your practitioner, give it a second's thought and say to yourself, this that is wrong, who is it wrong with? Is it wrong with the Son of God? Or is it wrong with that which is not the Son? And the answer is quite clear. It's wrong with that which is not the Son. Then the answer may be for you to still go and get the practitioner. But if that practitioner is the Son of God, his or her job will be to lift you into the consciousness that you too are the Son of God. And that is how you will find your problem disappearing. When you can accept sonship, you don't need a practitioner. It's only when momentarily you find you cannot accept it, or you have been separated from the understanding of it, or in some way momentarily hypnotized. Usually, of course, these ailments are not a momentary hypnosis. They're the culmination of a long period of hypnosis. Well, then you're justified in calling someone to lift your consciousness to who you are, And if that is a successful realization, you will find that condition, if it is your time to still maintain a spiritual mission on this earth, that condition will alleviate. But you should be ready for self-healing. And you should be ready to see that everything happening that is adverse is happening only in the false sense of self. There's no other place for it to happen. You had not been honoring yourself to be the invisible Christ of God, the Son, the Spirit, the infinite Spirit. And the price you pay then is that the false self rewards you by having an affliction. And you are once more in the time trap. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. That which was with you in the beginning means before time. Before time began, that which was with you was yourself. You lost track of it coming into time, and before you step into the experience of death, if you find yourself again, it will reborn you outside time. Now maybe you have to remind yourself very frequently who you are. And sometimes it takes nothing more than that to find the rainbow. The moment you begin assuring yourself who you really are, all the blind spots are given vision. A new kind of vision. Inner vision. You begin to know what you didn't know. Nothing really changes in reality, but you become conscious of reality. And that appears to you as a change from bad to good, from lack to fullness, from lack to a need fulfilled. It's really sometimes that simple, this capacity to know who you are again and again and again. That's what meditations are for. And those of you who are not contemplating enough, if in your contemplations you will sit in the silence knowing who you are, you will find that infinity begins to activate. The Holy Ghost enters your life bearing the treasures of heaven here now. Identity, as the Son, as the Spirit, that which you were in the beginning, before time, created a false appearance called mortal. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, not one, but us. And that promise is eternal life. Now, when we think of that promise, we all have the sense of feeling that it was a future thing. That isn't the promise. The word promise today may mean that to you. The word promise as used here, and I can't give you the original word in Greek or Hebrew, the word promise as used here is a mystical word. And it means that is the statement of reality. That is the statement of that which is now present. If you will step out of the false sense of self into that which you truly are, the promise is that you will discover eternal life here and now. Eternal life being the fullness of your eon. which never includes passing time, and into which passing time never enters, but only the eternal self, the whole self, where there are no gaps. Now, if you need authority, then, that eternal life is the divine nature of your true being here and now, John is trying to give it to you. He's trying to take you out of passing time into the knowledge that now you are the living Spirit of God. Without needs, including within your being all that is necessary, without end. That in all tomorrows nothing can be added to what you are now. That tomorrow you don't have to go out and solve a problem. It's already solved today in the invisible of yourself if you will abide there. And that's your inner sanctuary. That's your altar. That's where you worship. In who you are now, not who you will be. Because you will never be more than you are now. And we cease making time the stage on which we hope to discover more and more and more of ourselves. It's a false stage. It isn't there. You go deep inside yourself, not out into time. You change direction. You evolve within, not without. I've got to finish this because I think if we don't, we'll miss something that is very important. We're jumping over to the 29th verse. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doth righteousness is born of him. But I think I better go back and read up to that. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Now, them that seduce you are the false thoughts of this world, which place you in a material sense of life. These are the seducers. And John is telling us the eternal truth that we may be fortified against this seduction of the senses. But the anointing which ye have received, now this anointing is truth within consciousness, the awareness of the spiritual identity of life realized will be your anointing. And this anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. The anointing already took place, just as this false death in time took place. You have been anointed by the Father as the living Son. But your human memory can't go back to that. Nor can it penetrate into the depth of that, nor to the altitude of that. You have forgotten. In time you have forgotten that you are anointed of the Father, one with the Father. His living Spirit. This anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. It's real, it's true, it's now. It abideth in you, undetected by the human mind. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, it shall abide in him. This is a permanent fact of life. There's nothing wrong with you. And there's nothing missing. And unless you drop the belief that something is wrong with you and something is missing, you are not accepting the eternal anointing of the Father as his self in you. You've got to choose which self, says John. Trust your time sense or trust the words of God which are outside your time sense coming to you this way now. It hurts losing that human sense of self. It seems to shrink and you get worried. Sometimes, though, it seems to shrink and you're mighty grateful. When the pain is there, you're grateful. When the pain is gone, you're worried. When you are unworried and there is no pain, you are making spiritual progress. When you don't mind the shrinking human self, even though it's successful and happy and even joyous, you are really making spiritual progress. And that is called righteousness. And now, little children, abide in him. Meaning, the divine self of God, which is yourself. Abide in him. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And this isn't Jesus Christ appearing again. This coming is the coming of your understanding that Christ is your name. Abide in this truth, even though you cannot fully substantiate it as a truth. Abide in it until it comes forth and announces itself in you. And that leads to the line I had read. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. If you will accept the truth of your being, that truth will then become activated into your experience, and you will become a whole, complete, righteous self realized. And righteous then is he who is ready to fulfill the perfect divine will. The perfect divine will functioning through you makes you righteous. We're going to move now into the third chapter of this. There are several verses that will complete this level of the teaching at this point. In the second verse of the third chapter, beloved, don't wait. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for a hereafter. Don't wait until the ailment goes away. Don't wait a second. Don't be fooled by the decoy of passing time that you can do this in the future. The future is just as non-existent as the past. Beloved, now, we are the sons of God. Let that humanhood go, and let the problems of that humanhood go. They'll be taken care of. And you'll reach the point where you don't even have to think will they be taken care of. You'll accept the already isness of the perfection, which will then manifest as the solution. But don't concern yourself with the problem. Concern yourself with this higher awareness. And you will be directed properly. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. But not in this passing instant of time. You see, if you hold on to this passing instant of time as your life, you're missing the now, which is eternal. In the now that is not passing, you are the Son of God, not in passing time. Not in the changing now that becomes past. If this second is now, then when this second is gone, I've got a new now. And when this second is gone, I've got another now. If I live in the passing now, I'm not in now. I'm in the illusion of now. And mankind walks in the illusion of now. That's why mankind walks in the illusion of form. Because it's on the treadmill of time. Now is the eternal now. The now that does not move. The now that is God now. Divine now. Never passing. always present, always ising. In this divine now, touch it, and you are touching your reality. Touch your reality, and you are in the divine now. It works both ways. There's your secret, to learn to stand in the self that is now and always and is not dying into time. To learn to stand in that timelessness which is now and not dying into yesterday. To learn not to put your faith in the future, which will become dead time, but to put all your faith in now, which never moves out of now and is always now and is everywhere now. Now is where you are, the Son of God, and nowhere else. And when you catch that, you have substance. When you catch that substance, it becomes the law of all you do, even while you walk in time. And this is what John is getting at. Now are we the sons of God, and that's the only place where you can accept sonship. If you accept it in your head, you're going to lose it in passing time, because the form goes in passing time. If you accept it with your lips, you're going to lose it in passing time. If you accept it in your mind, your brain, your senses, your eyes, your fingertips, you're going to lose it in passing time. You must get outside the passing time into the now that doesn't move, and there you will find you have found the substance called I, Christ. I am the living substance, the living Son. And this is the truth of you, and that's where you are, in the now, which, as you did at the beginning of this class today, exists where all time seems to be in the past, where all time seems to be in the future, where all space appears. That is the invisible living now behind it all. That is you. And you must live there consciously for the substance to function through its own nowness into the time tracks in which we walk. That's the way you solve the non-existent problems which seem to be the problems of the human self. Now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And this he, then, is going to turn out to be your permanent identity. When you see God face to face, it is because you realize your permanent identity. Now, this is your direction. It's not in an evolving in time. In verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, the only sin he's talking about is a belief in having and being a mortal self. That transgresses the law, because you can't be the mortal self and be the Son. Now, there's nobody up here telling you to do this. There is a Spirit of God coming within your mental horizon saying to you, you are not mortal being. And you can turn that Spirit away, or you can walk away from it. It's not something a person is saying to you. It's the Spirit of God through John. And that Spirit is present. It is saying, you and I are one and the same. I who speak to you am yourself. Do you wish to deny me or accept me? I am not mortal. I am your immortal self. I am the living Son of the living Father. I am the one you have been seeking. I am your invisible Camelot. Acknowledge me. Lay down your mortal sense of life. Put on the garment of your invisible I self. When we are told that whoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, We are told that whoever accepts life in flesh and the life within the flesh as their life is being hypnotized by time sense, mortal sense. You have no life in this human form. That is transgressing the law. The law is that the life of God does not function in human flesh, which withers. The life of God does not function in your human form. You must step out of that belief that you are that life which is in the human form. Or you are not accepting the nowness of your being, the eternality of your being. You are accepting the life which dies. You are a victim of the illusion of time. That's why Einstein said it was a very stubborn illusion. And that's why Joel said that whenever you look at those things in time, do not accept them at their appearance value, because your time sense is fooling you. But rather see them through your soul, and then you will see there is no life in a human form. But where that human life seems to be, and where that human form seems to be, your invisible self is. And that invisible self, I must continuously remind you, exists from the beginning of time and beyond to the end of time and beyond, and covers all of it. You must accept the fullness of yourself to be the sun, because the sun does not have a place where he begins or ends. The sun is the infinite life of the infinite Father.